The subject of Eretz Yisrael and of living there is one of the oldest topics in Jewish history. It begins even before Mamre Har Sinai, because Moshe is told that the Jewish people will be brought to the land of Israel. Avraham is told that his children will live there, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So it's with us from the beginning. It's, so to speak, God's signature issue. And yet, over the long history of the Jewish people, most of our history has been outside the land of Israel, not by choice until our time. And because of that, the Jewish people developed a Golus mentality, a mentality of living amongst the nations of the world. And therefore, we find that, for instance, after the destruction of the first temple, when Ezra wants to return to the land of Israel and they receive permission from the Persian emperor to do so, and nobody comes. He's hard-pressed to put together 42,000 people. And those that come are not really the upper class. They're not the scholarly class. We read in the Talmud and Kiddushin, Asor Yuchsin Olu Mibovel, 10 different types of people came, and they were all sorts of people, Mamzeri, Shtuki, Asufi, people of questionable pedigree, people of servitude. And Ezra has to create the second commonwealth out of this raw material. Ezra is a great man. The rabbis say if we were not for Moses, then Ezra could have given us the Torah. And he's able to do so with the Anshei Knesset Agdola, and the Jewish people embark again on the times of the Second Temple. But again, eventually the temple is destroyed and the Jewish people are sent into exile. When they're sent into exile, then it becomes a matter of individual choice. And throughout the ages, there always were individual Jews that tried, many succeeded, in coming to the land of Israel. In the 19th century, both from Eastern Europe and from the Middle East itself, Jews made their way back to the land of Israel. And they made their way back in what then were considered substantial numbers. So that by 1846 here in Jerusalem, the Jews were the majority in the city. There were over 7,000 Jews here then. And that trend continued. So, on the other hand, there has always been difficulty coming to the land of Israel. I think the Lord, I can't speak for the Lord, but it's always been a test. And sometimes the test is easier, sometimes it's more difficult. So certainly to come here in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century is more difficult than to come in our century. Certainly we have the advantage of having a Jewish state. And the people many times don't understand what a Jewish state really means. I always say in Yiddish, Sayyidish Leben, it's a Jewish life here. It's a Jewish life that cannot be matched anywhere in the exile. I was a rabbi in Muncie, which is a holy city. And, you know, I know Brooklyn very well, which also is a holy city. None of that compares to the Jewishness. And I'm not talking about religious observance per se. I'm talking about the feeling of being Jewish, which the land of Israel gives to people. And I think that that's the idea that the rabbis mentioned, that our teacher Moshe wanted to come to the land of Israel. So Rashi says, what did he want? He wanted to take a tour? He wanted to see Haifa? I mean, what did he want to come for? And Rashi points out he wanted to come because Eretz Yisrael provides you an opportunity to be more Jewish. And there are mitzvot here that cannot be accomplished anywhere else. And once you're here, you'll never look at an apple the same again. And that's an inner feeling that a Jew has to have. So I can sell you that you can have a beautiful apartment, which you can, and you can get a good job, which you can, and that you can have money, which you can, but that's not going to move you to Eretz Yisrael, because you can have all of that, you know, in the five towns. You don't have to come here. But the difference is that here you have a Jewish life, you're building a Jewish future, you think you're part of a great project, a project that eventually will result in the redemption of the Jewish people, in a restructuring of the Jewish people, of being a light unto the nations, of being a place where the world will come to see us. And I see it even now, you know, millions of non-Jews come to visit the land of Israel. The land of Israel, hundreds of thousands want to come here to live. I mean, why don't the people from Eritrea want to go to South Africa or somewhere else? Why are they coming here? Because all the words of the prophets were true. That nations will come to you because this is a great project. This is a historic project. And a person should feel, I think every Jew should feel, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to be an actor and not in the audience. My opportunity to build myself and my family in a Jewish way, which I could not and I cannot do no matter where I live in the diaspora. So that's my Aliyah speech. But I sincerely believe it, and I've experienced it myself. There are people who come when they're young, before marriage. There are people who come after marriage. There are people who come with families. There are people like me who come later in life. But no matter what stage of life you're in, there's something here for you. And you should never hesitate to come. It should be on your radar screen. It should be somehow part of you that that's where I want to be. I want to be part of it. And the daughters of Slavchod said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Loma Nigora, how can it be that we should not have a share? Every Jew should say that to himself and herself. Loma Nigora, how can it be that in such a time and under such circumstances, when, so to speak, the entire infrastructure is already present for me, that I shouldn't want, that I shouldn't be able to come, that I shouldn't see my way to try and come? So I thank you for listening to me, and I hope that you remember at least some of what I said. Thank you.